إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so carrying on then with Bab al-Hayd, the chapter regarding menstruation. We did one session on this last time, so that would have been the introduction into this chapter. And in that introduction, Al-Shaykh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, had mentioned that this particular chapter regarding menstruation and other types of blood that may exit is specific, of course, to the women in its application. But in terms of the knowledge of it, then that is something everyone needs to know. فالحيض ذكر الله أحكامه في القرآن. The rulings on menstruation have been mentioned in the Quran itself, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned it in the Sunnah. So in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّهُ شَيْءٌ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى بَنَاتِ آدَمَ. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written upon the daughters of Adam, meaning upon the women. And as we probably saw last time, Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in one statement that he was studying the chapter of menstruation for years. He was studying this topic until he understood it properly, until he understood the details of it. So today then, we're going to begin with the first hadith in this chapter, and that first hadith is the hadith of Aisha radiyallahu anha, qalat, inna Fatimata bint Abi Hubaysh kanat tustahad, faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna dam al-hayd damun aswad yu'raf, فإذا كان ذلك فأمسكي عن الصلاة، فإذا كان الآخر فتوضئي وصلي. رواه أبو داود والنسائي وصححه ابن حبان والحاكم واستنكره أبو حاتم. In this narration, عائشة رضي الله عنها mentioned that Fatima, the daughter of Abu Hubaysh, used to tustahad. Tustahad meaning that she would experience blood exiting outside of her period. Blood exiting from her outside of her period. It was not her period. And so she used to get that. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the blood of menstruation is a black blood that is known, a dark blood that is known. So if it is that one, then stop praying. And if it is the other one, meaning the blood that does not have the characteristics of period blood, then in that case make wudu and pray. So this hadith it highlights to us some of the rulings regarding the blood that exits outside of the normal period time. تستحاض يعني يخرج منها الدم في غير أوقاته. That she used to have blood loss outside of the normal period time. فأتت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تسأله ماذا تفعل بسبب هذا الدم في غير وقته. So she came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to ask him what to do regarding this situation and circumstance. What to do when the blood exits outside of the normal cycle of the month. And so this indicates, as Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned, نِعْمَ نِسَاءَ الْأَنْصَارِ لَمْ يَكُنْ يَمْنَعْهُنَّ حَيَاؤُهُنَّ مِنْ أَنْ يَسْأَلْنَ عَنْ أُمُورِ دِينِهِنَّ. She said, how good are the women of the Ansar. Their shyness did not prevent them from asking about the affairs of their religion. And so the female companions, they used to ask about the affairs of their religion, and they were not shy, such that they would not know how to worship Allah accurately and properly. They would ask the questions that were related to religion. And so this issue of the monthly cycle for the women, it is something that affects their worship, their prayer, their fasting, their ibadah. And so they would ask about these affairs. And that's why it's mentioned that there are two types of people who do not gain knowledge. The two memes, the mustakbir, the one who is too arrogant to ask and to learn, too arrogant to come and sit in the classes, too arrogant to educate himself about the religion, so he does not learn. And the second type, al-mustahi, the one who is shy. The one who is shy does not learn about his religion. His shyness prevents him from asking. His shyness prevents him from learning. And so those are the two memes to be aware of. Do not be from the mustakbir, the one who is arrogant and that prevents him, or the mustahi, the one who is shy and that prevents him. So the women of the Ansar, they used to come and they used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about these rulings. So she came asking the messenger about the ruling of this blood, which was not her period. She knew the rulings about the period already. She knew the rulings about that, about the fact that you do not pray at that time, and you do not fast at that time, and it is not permissible to engage in intercourse at that time. She knew those rulings for the period. But now this blood was not the blood of the period she was experiencing. So she came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the ruling of this blood? Is it the same as the normal period, or is it different to that? فَأَجَابَهَا بِجَوَابٍ شَافٍ كَافٍ. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her a comprehensive answer. إِنَّ دَمَ الْحَيْضِ أَسْوَدْ يُعْرَف. He said, the blood of the period is dark in color, known. بِخِلَافِ دَمِ الْإِسْتِحَاضَةِ فَإِنَّهُ يَكُونُ أَحْمَرُ. as opposed to the blood which exits outside of the period time, that blood is very light red in color. Very light red in color. فَهَذَا فَرْقٌ بَيْنَ دَمِ الْحَيْضِ وَدَمِ الْإِسْتِحَاضَةِ So that is one difference between the blood of the actual period, that is a dark colored blood, and the blood that may exit outside of the period, that is a very light red color. وَهُنَاكَ فَرْقَانِ آخَرَانِ And there are the other two differences also. وَهُمَا أَنَّ دَمَ الْحَيْضِ يَكُونَ غَلِيظًا ثَخِينًا وَدَمُ الْإِسْتِحَاضَ يَكُونَ رَقِيقًا That the period blood, it is thick, whereas the outside of the period blood is very light in its consistency. ثُمَّ إِنَّ دَمَ الْحَيْضِ يُعْرَفْ أَيْ تَعْرِفُهُ النِّسَاءُ إِذَا وَإِذْ إِنَّ لَهُ رَائِحَ كَرِيهَ مُنْتِنَةً بِخِلَافِ دَمِ الْإِسْتِحَاضَةِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَتْ لَهُ رَائِحَةً And also, the third characteristic that differentiates the blood of the period from others is the smell, that the blood of the period has the undesirable smell, whereas the other blood has no smell in particular. So the messenger said to her, the Prophet ﷺ said to her, that if it is that type, meaning the descriptions of the period blood type, then in that case, leave the prayer. Do not pray at that time then. And if it is the other type, then make the wudu and pray. فَهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَفَادَ أَنَّ هُنَاكَ فرقا بين دم الحيض ودم الاستحاضة من حيث الصفة ومن حيث الحكم. This indicates, therefore, that there is a difference between the blood of the actual period and other blood in terms of the descriptions of them, the characteristics, and also in terms of the actual ruling regarding them. Then after that, the next hadith. وفي حديث أسماء بنت عميس عند أبي داود ولتجلس في مركا فإذا رأت صفرة فوق الماء فلتغتسل للظهر والعصر غسلا واحدا وتغتسل للمغرب والعشاء غسلا واحدا وتغتسل للفجر غسلا واحدا وتتوضأ بين ذلك. This narration now, the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم gives further details on the rulings for the women, and this highlights how the religion has come in perfection with all of the details of all of the affairs for the life of a Muslim, male or female. As Allah said, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا That on this day I have completed for you my religion and perfected my blessing upon you and chosen or I'm pleased with Islam as your religion. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ I have completed your religion for you in every aspect, including all of the rulings for the women of what they are supposed to do when that monthly cycle occurs. So in this narration, the messenger gave details, further details. And in those details, it mentions that Fatima, that Asma bint Umays, Asma bint Umays, radiyallahu anha, she was one of the female companions, and she had actually done both hijras. In the seerah, you know that in the early days of Islam, when the Muslims were in Mecca at the beginning, and they were being persecuted by the Quraysh, by the Mushrikun. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them to do the hijrah in those early days. And so they did that hijrah at first to the land of Habasha, to the land of Habasha, Abyssinia. And they went there, and that was under the authority of the Najashi of that time, under Christianity. And then they came back from that, and then afterwards was the major hijrah that was done from Mecca to Medina. Asma bint Umays did both of those hijras. The first one to Habasha, and then after that to Al-Madina also. And her husband was Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. She had made hijrah with him to Habasha. And then Ja'far ibn Abi Talib was martyred in one of the events that occurred. And then after that, she remarried. And she remarried to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiyallahu anhu. And they had the child Muhammad. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq had a son called Muhammad. Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. And then when Abu Bakr passed away, she did remarry once again, and this time she married Ali ibn Abi Talib. And so they had a child, a son, Yahya. So in this hadith, it is being reported of her that the messenger mentioned to her regarding this blood that exits outside of the period time. And many women, they complain about these issues. Blood that exits outside of the normal period, what is the ruling on it? Can I pray? Can I not? So the messenger said here that the woman is to examine that blood, to sit and to see what type of blood exits. فَتَجْرِسْ فِيهِ وَتَصُبُّ عَلَى نَفْسِهَا الْمَاءِ فَإِذَا رَأَتْ صُفْرَ فَوْقَ الْمَاءِ يعني أن على المستحاضة أن تختبر نفسها فتجلس في هذا الإناء الواسع ثم تصب الماء على نفسها فإذا رأت صفرة فوق الماء فهي استحاضة فإنها تغتسل للظهر والعصر غسلا واحدا وتغتسل للمغرب العشاء غسلا واحدا وتغتسل للفجر غسلا واحدا. So the woman checks and she washes that area. And if she notices that there is a type of yellowness to the tinge of the water that exits from her as she washes, then this indicates that the blood that is exiting at that time is non-period blood. It is non-period blood. So she is not upon her period. And if that is the case, the messenger said, she has to make ghusl before dhuhr and asr. Make her ghusl for dhuhr and asr time. Then make her ghusl for maghrib and isha time. And make her ghusl for fajr time. Three ghusls in the day. So what do we learn from this, and what is the fiqh ruling on this? بَيَانُ كَيْفَ تَعْرِفُ الْمُسْتَحَاضَ نِهَايَةَ حَيْضِهَا وَذَلِكَ بِأَنْ تَخْتَبِرَ نَفْسَهَا فَتَجْلِسْ فِي مَرْكَنْ وَتَصُبُّ عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءِ وَجَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الْأَوَّلِ أَنَّهَا تُمَيِّزْ بَيْنَ الدَّمِ الْأَسْوَدُ وَغَيْرِ الْأَسْوَدِ. So a woman who generally experiences additional blood outside of her normal period time, then how does she distinguish? This is one of the methods that she washes the area And if she notices that tinge of yellow on the surface of the water, then that indicates that now she is no longer on her period. And so now any blood exiting is not her period blood. And also by checking the characteristics of the blood, whether it is of the thick density or the light density, whether it is of the dark color or the light color, whether it is of the smell or lack of it. And so if she determines that she is not on her period, then the hadith mentions she is supposed to make ghusl 3 times. This is now in the circumstance of a woman who is experiencing blood outside of her period. This is not her period blood, but she's experiencing some blood, that she must make ghusl 3 times in the day. Once for Dhuhr and Asr, once for Maghrib and Isha, and once for Fajr. بينما جاء الحديث أو جاء في الحديث الأول الاقتصار على الوضوء فقط. But the first hadith that we covered, that one just said a woman who is experiencing blood outside of her period simply has to make wudu, it said. Simply has to make the wudu. But this one says she is supposed to make the ghusl also. So now then, that's where you have a slight difference between the scholars on this issue as to whether the woman who is experiencing blood outside of her period, whether she needs to make that ghusl 3 times a day, or can she suffice with wudu. So some of the scholars mention 3 times a day, as this hadith does, and others they say this is as a recommendation, that it is mustahab, she should do that. But if she suffices by cleaning and making wudu, then she can pray. You have that difference in that. The next hadith clarifies further. All of these, they build on to one another. The next one is of Hamna bint Jahsh. قالت كنت أستحاض حيضة كثيرة شديدة فأتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أستفتيه فقال إنما هي ركضة من الشيطان فتحيضي 6 أيام أو 7 أيام ثم اغتسلي فإذا استنقأت فصلي 24 أو 23 وصومي وصلي فإن ذلك يجزئك وكذلك فافعلي كل شهر كما تحيض النساء فإن قويت على أن تؤخري الظهر وتعجلي العصر ثم تغتسلي حين تظهرين وتصلين الظهر والعصر جميعا ثم تؤخرين المغرب وتعجلين العشاء ثم تغتسلين وتجمعين بين صلاتين فافعلي وتغتسلين مع الصبح وتصلين قال وهو أعجم الأمرين إلي. This hadith gives a lot more detail about the situation. In this hadith now of Hamna bint the daughter of Jahsh. And Hamna, the daughter of Jahsh, she was one of three daughters of Jahsh. There was Zainab bint Jahsh, who was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was Habiba bint Jahsh, who was the wife of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. And there is this one in the narration, Hamna bint Jahsh. And she was the wife of Talha ibn Ubaidillah. She mentions that she used to get a lot of excessive bleeding outside of the period. A lot of severe excessive bleeding outside of the period. And so she said, I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to ask him, what is the fatwa on this? So the messenger said, it is the play of the shaitan. It is the shaitan that is causing that physical feeling in you and causing that movement of the blood in you. So what to do? Consider your period as 6 days or 7 days. Then after that, make the ghusl. And if you are then clean, pray 24 or 23 and fast and pray. And that will suffice you. And do that every month, just as the women have their period. And if you are able to delay Dhuhr and bring Asr forward, pray them together, then make the ghusl when you are pure, and then pray Dhuhr and Asr together, and then delay Maghrib and Isha, and make the ghusl and pray those two together, and make the ghusl when praying the Fajr prayer. Here then the messenger said, initially the messenger said that this extra excessive bleeding that occurs outside of the period, that is a rakwah min a shaitan, that it is a striking from the shaitan. It is a strike from the shaitan. It is something that occurs from the shaitan that causes that feeling. And the scholars, they said this could mean two things. Firstly, أَنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَتَسَلَّطُ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ فِي وُجُودِ هَذَا الدَّمْ فَيُوَسْوِسُ لَهَا وَيُشَدِّدُ الْأَمْرَ عَلَيْهَا وَيُلْقِي عَلَيْهَا الْإِشْكَالَاتِ مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنْ يُغِمَّهَا بِذَلِكَ وَيَحْزِنَهَا فهو يتخذ هذا المرض سبيلا لمضايقة المسلمات بالوسوسة والتوهيم. One of the meanings the scholar said is that the shaitan uses this avenue, this issue of the period, to concern the women and to cause the women to worry and to fall into some distress over this affair. And how many women they do? Into great worry and distress regarding this affair, because they do not understand what is happening and the blood that is exiting and outside of their period. And so perhaps the shaitan causes this and the whisperings upon the women to cause them further distress and grief regarding the affair. And the second meaning, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ عَرْقٌ يَعْنِي نَزِيفٌ. وفي هذا الحديث يقول ركض من الشيطان وبالجمع بين الحديثين نستخلص بأن الشيطان لعنه الله يركض هذا العرق ويحركه فينفجر. In one narration it mentions how that extra blood outside of the period is just blood that is exiting from your insides, from the veins, arteries, etc. And in this one it mentions it is the shaitan that causes that strike for the blood to exit. So perhaps the combination between them is that the shaitan causes that striking within the woman that then leads to this additional bleeding that occurs outside of her normal period. So when that happens, the messenger said, فَتَحَيَّضِي سِتَّ أَيَّامٍ أَوْ سَبْعَةٍ. The messenger said, when you have this long-term bleeding, way more than just the period, then what do? The messenger said, consider your period to be 6 or 7 days. And so do not pray and do not fast, etc., the rulings for those 6 or 7 days. And that is because the majority of women, their period is 6 or 7 days. وَهَذَا يُسَمَّ بِالدَّوْرَةَ الشَّهْرِيَّةِ. So the messenger said, use that norm where you have excessive long-term bleeding, maybe 20, 25 days out of the month for some women, then consider 6 or 7 days to be your period. And then after that, make your ghusl. Make your ghusl and consider your period time to have finished. And the rest is going to be outside of the period now. The rulings for the rest are going to be outside of the period now. That is, of course, one of the opinions, and there are other opinions about how many days you should consider as your period. For example, women who have excessive bleeding, maybe 20 days out of the month. And there are women who may have that and experience that. Then in that case, imagine that scenario, a woman regularly has 20 days of bleeding every month. There is an opinion that all 20 days is therefore period. Because some of the scholars do have an opinion, it's in the books of fiqh, that there is no upper limit to how long the period can be. It's an opinion that exists among some, that there is no upper limit to how long the period can be. But that is not considered as the strongest opinion. There is another opinion that states 15 days. And this is more common. The scholars, they say, if you have excessive long-term bleeding every month, consider 15 days to be period. And then after that, any more days is not period. Because they say it cannot be that the woman is on her period for the majority of the month and not on her period for the minority of the month. That cannot be. So they say 15 days is the maximum. After that, if there is bleeding, consider it not to be period. There is another opinion like this one here in this hadith, that 6 or 7 days is what you consider as the period, because that is the norm of women. And some scholars say you should take the norm based upon your own family. So the women in your family and your extended family, your first cousins, your second cousins perhaps, your own sisters, your own daughters perhaps, the women in your family, if their norm was 8 days, for example, then you consider your norm to be 8 days. And then anything more than that is not period. If all of your close family women members, their normal period was 9 days, then you can consider yours to be 9, and the bleeding outside of that, the extra days, is not period. So some of the scholars, they say, the woman returns back to the norms of her direct family. And then, of course, there is what we've mentioned before, that if a woman has excessive bleeding outside of the normal period time, she can examine the blood that exits and the descriptions and characteristics of it. And if the descriptions and characteristics match that of period, then it's period. And if they do not, then it is not considered period. So here the hadith mentions the 6 or 7 days. So once you've gone through the days, the number of days that it's going to be, then what do you do? Then the messenger mentioned that this is what you do. You make the ghusl and you are then considered pure from your period, even if the bleeding is still carrying on. You make the ghusl and you are considered pure from the bleeding then. And then after that, the messenger said, carry on then upon prayer and fasting for 24 days or 23 days, depending on whether you did the period as 6 days or 7 days. The rest of the month, then the next 24 days, you're not on period. Then comes the next cycle of 6 days or 7 days. And so the messenger said, do this every month. And then the messenger mentioned, if you are able to delay the dhuhr and to bring forward the maghrib, then make the ghusl when you become pure and combine between those two prayers. And likewise, make the ghusl and combine between maghrib and isha, and make the ghusl for the fajr. And she said, وَهُوَ أَعْجَبُ الْأَمْرَيْنِ إِلَيَّ, that this is the most beloved of the two options. What are the two options being given? One option is al-iqtisar ala al-wudu bidun ightisal, to suffice with wudu without having to do ghusl. And the second option is to combine between wudu and ghusl. And that was what she said is more beloved to me, to do the ghusl and the wudu. وَقِيلْ إِنَّ عِبَارَةَ أَعْجَبُ الْأَمْرَيْنِ إِلَيَّ مِنْ كَلَامِ حَمْنَةَ لَا مِنْ كَلَامِ الرَّسُولِ. So some of the scholars say that phrase at the end of the hadith, that is more beloved to me, the messenger said that. And he meant doing the ghusl and the wudu is more beloved to me, that is what you should do. But some scholars say that line at the end of the hadith is actually the speech of Hamna, the narrator. But in any case, it indicates that you can either suffice with just making wudu for every prayer when you're on that extra bleeding occurring outside of your period, make wudu for every prayer when you pray, or you can make the wudu and the ghusl combined between making the wudu and the ghusl.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
So to summarize this section here now then, the narration here indicates that a woman who is experiencing blood outside of her period, extra blood, rest of the month, that she must make wudu for every prayer. She must make wudu for every prayer because she is in the same ruling as somebody who has the problem with the urine, that the urine constantly keeps exiting from that individual, so he has to make wudu for every prayer and then just pray. Likewise, the woman who has the additional bleeding outside of her period the rest of the month has to make wudu for every prayer and then pray. But then what about that issue of the ghusl then? Does she have to make the ghusl? So as we said, there are differences between the scholars on that. One group of the scholars, they take the opinion that it is obligatory for a woman in that situation, circumstance, to make the ghusl for every prayer. For every prayer. Some of them hold that opinion. But then the messenger did say you can combine between the dhuhr and the asr and the maghrib and isha, which is jama' suri, as they say. You delay the dhuhr to the end time and you pray the asr at the beginning time. And you delay the maghrib to the end time and you pray the isha at the beginning time. In that way then, she would only have to make three ghusls a day. And so some of the scholars take the opinion that is an obligation upon her. The second opinion is that it is not an obligation to make the ghusl in that circumstance at all. That is only an additional sunnah. It is recommended, but it is sufficient. Sufficient to make the wudu after that. She makes one ghusl at the beginning, one ghusl at the end of her period, and after that, any more blood coming, she simply makes the wudu at each prayer. There is no obligation for the ghusl. And the third opinion, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَمِيلُ إِلَيْهِ صَنْعَانِ صَاحِبُ سُبْلِ السَّلَامِ فَهُوَ يَقُولُ إِنَّ الْإِغْتِسَالَ مُسْتَحَبٌ لَهَا وَلَيْسَ وَاجِبًا وَهُوَ لَيْسَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يُوجِبُونَهُ وَلَيْسَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرَوْنَ مَشْرُوعِيَّتَهُ وَإِنَّمَا يَتَوَسَّطُ وَيَقُولُ يُسْتَحَبُ. So the first opinion was it's obligatory. The second opinion was it's not even a sunnah. You don't have to do it at all. Third opinion is that it is a sunnah, but not at the level of obligation. It's a sunnah. You should do it, but it's not an obligation. That is the opinion of As-San'ani. Al-Rajih, Shaykh Al-Fawzan says, what appears to be the preponderant opinion, the weightier opinion, is which one? Obligatory, not legislated to have to do so at all, or legislated but only recommended, not obligatory. Second one, Sheikh Fawzan says. How do you know that? Because you just read it. So, Shaykh Al-Fawzan takes the second opinion. He says, Allahu A'lam, الرأي الثاني في عدم مشروعية الاغتسال لكل صلاة لا استحبابا ولا وجوبا. He says, what appears to be correct from all the evidences when you put them together is that there is no legislation to have to do ghusl. Because that would be such a burden upon the woman to have to do ghusl even three times a day, let alone the five, but even three times a day, to do ghusl that regularly. And so the Shaykh says it appears that level of burden and difficulty, and with the evidences, there is no recommendation for the woman to have to do that. She makes her initial ghusl to become pure, and after that she just makes the wudu for every prayer. That's where we'll conclude on today then. And inshallah ta'ala, the next time we'll continue with the next few ahadith. Any questions up to there? When she combines the dhuhr and asr, the prayers are not actually being combined. In this scenario, they call it the jama' suri, which is the prayers are being combined visually. Because imagine now Dhuhr finishes at, say for example, 4 p.m. Asr time starts at 4 p.m. So now if somebody prays Dhuhr at 3:50 p.m. and when they finish, they get up, and now it's like 4:01, so they get up and pray Asr. Somebody looking at them is going to think they've just prayed 4 and 4, they've just combined their Dhuhr with their Asr. But they didn't really combine, they prayed Dhuhr in its time, and they prayed Asr in its time. So when it comes to the wudu, it wouldn't be the same, because the wudu is supposed to be for every prayer, and you're not actually combining, you're actually praying each prayer in its time. So that ghusl is only for that scenario, not the wudu. Wudu is for every prayer. Anybody else? You do wudu at Asr and then? If there is no bleeding, the bleeding stops for a period of time, then the ruling isn't required. This is for the woman who has constant bleeding throughout. Bleeding is occurring, she's on her regular bleeding. If it's only a small pause in the bleeding, but she is generally upon that bleeding throughout the day, then she should make the wudu still. But if it's an actual pause, some women, they have like maybe 2 days where there's no bleeding, and then after that it starts again, and then maybe a few days where there's nothing. In the days where there's nothing, then there's no rulings. Then she continues as normal, makes a wudu, just prays. But then the days where those bleeding, the bleeding is occurring, then she should make the wudu every day, even if there's a small pause during the day for a small time. Still, according to the first opinion, like we said, that's why the scholars have the opinion. They say, look, if the characteristics are all there, and it is upon the definition of menstrual bleeding, then you should give it the same rulings and carry on. It is menstrual bleeding. Some of them, that's why they say there is no upper limit to how long a woman could menstruate. But others, they say, no, it cannot be more than 50% of the month. So they stop it at 15 days. According to that, then you would stop at 15 days. And then beyond that, make your ghusl, etc., and carry on with these rulings and pray and fast.
Sheikh, you said that Sheikh Fawzan's opinion that it's not recommended to do that.
No, there is no sunnah to have to do that. You just make your wudu, that's it. No, because the other narrations, they talk about wudu. And that is much more detailed discussion we haven't done here, when you have to combine between them and then use the principles of usul al-fiqh to put one as a precedence over the other, and then to understand all of it together, get to the rajih. After all that, then they may come to a conclusion that, okay, only the wudu is legislated, and perhaps there's some type of abrogation, or perhaps there's some type of general and specific. There's issues there that you eventually come to, it's only wudu.
Some women have like 2 periods a month, so let's say 6 or 7 days, and then 2 week gap, and then another 6 or 7 days. Would that just be the same ruling as the 15 days in the month?
Yeah, so
it's quite common.
So if the second one is actually period, with the characteristics of period, you could possibly consider it to be within the 15-day limit. And then you would have the same rulings. But others will say no. Others will say your period is your routine. If your routine was always, for example, the first week of the month, and then at some stage in your life something happens and all of a sudden you start getting something in the third week of the month as well, the scholars would say forget the second one, it's your normal habit that the ruling is on. You've always been on the first week of the month, that is what it is. What comes in the third week now, consider that to be this additional type of bleeding. But you have to examine that blood and see if really it is the exact characteristics or not. If it's the irregular bleeding, everything we just said today then. If it's irregular bleeding, all these rulings, make the wudu for every prayer and pray.
What if, like, in the first period, someone has like 8 to 10 days, and then another 8
when it's like that, the most common opinion is going to be your habitual, your normal days where they normally are, that is your period. The additional ones afterwards, they would not be considered period. They would not say you have two periods in the same month. They would say your normal, typical routine is your period. The one that came outside of that is considered irregular. So the rulings of irregular go on to that second one. Anybody else? This Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, he has a small book on this issue, on the topic of periods, etc. It's published in English now, and he mentions in there, this is one of the issues that causes so many calamities, and it causes so much distress or so much confusion for the women because of all the different scenarios that exist and all of the different things that women may experience, and it's a very difficult topic. Anybody else? All right, we'll conclude on that for today then, inshallah ta'ala. From the next time, we'll finish off the other hadith in the chapter.